Welcome to That Anger Management Crap. I'm your host, Matthew Blattner. Each week, I will cover a topic related to anger and its many subtleties and nuances. I hope that this podcast will show that anger management is not all about take a deep breath and count to 10. So stay tuned as we explore that complex emotion of anger. All right, everyone. We're back for what I'm hoping to be a very interesting conversation with Chris Bartholomew. And we are going to talk about a great book, well, the start beginning of a really good book that I want to kind of share with you guys all the concepts out of it, but we're going to start with the first one. The book is called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And we're going to start with the first agreement, which says, be impeccable with your words. So, Chris, you just got done reading this part of the book. What's your first thoughts on this?
My first thought was, you know, it goes along with Buddhism very, very well. And the concept of mindfulness in your thoughts, because your thoughts are what kind of define who you are. And if you kind of go into his whole concept of using your agreements, it's literally the same thing. And the more mindful you are, the better you'll be with the agreements you do make with the words of others. So very, very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah. The idea is, the reason it's called the four agreements is because you're taking these old agreements that you had with yourself and the world around you, and you're replacing them with these new ones that supposedly are healthier and more adaptive to the world around you and are going to give you a better sense of self and whatnot. And I love the first agreement. And in the book, he says that if you take nothing else away from it, this agreement alone will completely revolutionize and change the world you live in. And I got to agree with that. The idea of being impeccable with your word seems odd and something that most of us are probably, of course, you got to be true to yourself and be true to your word. But I think he goes further than that with it. The idea is, or the definition of the word impeccable, I actually looked it up because I wasn't 100% certain. Hold on a minute. So the definition is not capable of sinning or liable to sin, free from fault or blame, flawless. So the idea is to be without sin in our words. What do you think, Chris? Can we be without sin in our words?
I don't think we can be without sin. However, we can strive for it every day. And that's the important part. I think the takeaway is that you are always going to be chasing that. Because even further in the book and even before that, when he starts talking about being impeccable, he talks about how we're never going to be perfect. And, you know, if you have a vision of perfection, you're never going to achieve it. But I think we can be without the negative talk, so to speak. It's almost like you're going to have the negative thoughts. You're going to have that sin in your brain, but not letting it out of your mouth towards others, I think, is the most important part.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of where a lot of us who deal with anger as sort of an addiction struggle is. You can have that thought, but then it immediately has to leave the brain and into the mouth and out into the world, and you immediately regret that. Crap, I just said probably the worst possible thing I could say to someone I really love and appreciate and enjoy. Why would I do that? And you beat yourself up for it. Whereas this idea of impeccable with your words kind of forces you to stop and reevaluate. And are these words the words I want to use towards this person?
Oh, absolutely. And I think too, where this one really starts though, is being honest with yourself first. He gets into it towards the last half of talking about being impeccable with your words and says, you know, stop talking to yourself negatively. But I think it honestly starts there. If we're honest with ourselves, we actually say, okay, we do have a problem. That's what we're all here for, the same reason. We're here because we have a problem, you know? So being honest and saying, I've got a problem, that's impeccable right there. That's not being with sin. That's saying, I'm going to be responsible for my action and taking it to the next step. Once you become honest with yourself and you're happy with who you are, it makes it easier to be impeccable with your words or others as well.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that's one of the, and I'm not religious by any stretch, or at least not Christian anyway, but I from what I've gathered from my Christian friends and Catholic friends, is that's kind of the idea behind the confession, is you put the thing you've done out into the world.
Yep.
And allow yourself to be forgiven for it, allow you to forgive yourself for it. And I think that kind of falls in line very similar to that whole concept of impeccable with the words.
Yeah. And he does in that book even talk a little bit about how it relates towards, you know, what the Bible even says about the word of God, and the word of God is God and all that stuff. So he does kind of relate towards Christianity and that stuff. And I think he's trying to make the book a little more relatable, but I agree completely with you. I totally agree that it kind of falls in the same line as Christianity does.
Yeah, I think everything is sort of, I think once you get into this type of stuff and the more you read on these ideas, they all basically say the same thing. There's one I talked about recently in another episode, a book by Albert Ellis, talks about unconditional self-acceptance. I think that falls right in line with this whole thing of accepting yourself as you are, being okay with you as you are, but then striving to be better than you were yesterday. And I know that's an odd concept, to be okay with who you are, but then looking to be better than you were yesterday, right? You kind of throws your mind for a loop. It did me for a while anyway, because how can I be okay with me, but then want to be better than me? It doesn't make sense.
Well, and I think he hit on it in this book, actually, towards the beginning, in the precursor, before he even starts talking about any of the four agreements. He talks about how we beat ourselves up thousands and thousands of times. You know, we're the only animal that does that. If a wolf makes a mistake out in the world, it pays for that mistake once and it moves on. It doesn't think back. We beat ourselves up thousands of times. Being okay with yourself doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're okay that you aren't a good person at times. You're just okay with the fact that it happens and that you're able to try to make adjustments. I think that's the important takeaway there.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a conversation I was having with my wife today. Something, I don't know exactly what happened, but something happened at work and she's really angry at her boss. And it happened at around lunchtime. And it's now 7-ish my time. She's still going over it and reliving that moment in her head over and over. And every time she does it, she gets that another shot of that adrenaline, another dose of anger, another bit of resentment. And I talked to her about it, and I can only do so much. Believe it or not, guys, even my wife doesn't listen to me half the time. But I've explained to her, I'm like, sweetie, the more you do this, the more you allow yourself to live in this moment, and the more you play it in your head, the angrier you're going to get, and the more you're going to just seethe by the end of the night. And I believe before I came up here, she was still talking to a coworker about it. So
when it's a slippery slope, you start seizing on something like that, and then you don't sleep well that night. And then the lack of sleep creates problems the next day at work because now you're on edge. So it's a slippery slope that can lead to more problems. The quicker you can let go of that anger and try to get yourself back into a calm place, the better off you'll be in the long run anyways.
Oh, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's a difficult thing to do. And oh, I think it's something we all struggle with. But the idea is to allow that thing to happen, to acknowledge that it happened. And if you lived, it's done. It's now that moment has passed. It's you move on from that and it's done.
Exactly. You gotta take away whatever lesson you can and then try to make adjustments in the future. And that's all you can do. You can't change the past no matter how much you want to.
Oh yeah. I think it's a hard place to live though. I think because you want to beat yourself up for that mistake. I think that's human nature.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, not a good aspect of human nature, obviously, but it is what we do. We will, man, I was so stupid. I should have done this. I should have done that. And we'll relive that moment over and over and over. And I've said it in the past, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think taking those moments and reliving them is good, but do it in a way that allows you to retrain the brain to go, okay, this thing happened. Here's how I reacted. Now here's how I would like to react in the future, and change what we call neuroplasticity, change the brain to react differently next time.
No, absolutely. That's the retraining the brain part is a lot harder than it sounds though on paper, you know? And I think choosing that reaction the first time is the hardest, and then it gets easier after that. Because once you've kind of made a little bit of a bridge, it's kind of like you've got a creek to cross. And your brain says, okay, I'm going to throw a 2x4 down. You get across it once. So now your brain goes, okay, if I put a second 2x4 there, and it keeps reinforcing that good behavior, those choosing to react the right way reinforces it until eventually you have an actual bridge with trusses and everything you need to get across to the other side. But it takes that first time changing that behavior. That's the hard part.
So going back to the original topic, it takes changing our words and being less destructive, less sinful, if you will, with our word towards ourselves and towards others. That is the very first step. That's why that's agreement number one. You got to take that first step. You got to change your thoughts. You got to change your words. You got to change basically the core of what's causing the anger, the violence, the frustration, the jealousy, the guilt, the shame, all of that stuff.
Exactly.
I know you were recently have stumbled down this path, and I call it stumbled because none of us ever do it gracefully. Nope. We stumbled down this path, and you started it recently. What have you found to be the most difficult process or the most difficult thing to do as far as altering that mindset and altering those words and the way you interact with others around you?
The hardest part, honestly, for me was in the moment recognizing that, like, literally the signs of anger, because we all have it. When you get angry, that like you, it's like a switch goes off in your brain and you don't even know what you said. For an hour later, sometimes you're like, what did I even say? I don't even know what I did. So recognizing the moment that your brain makes that switch where you do start lashing out, recognizing it the second before it happens is the hardest part.
That is a terrible place for me to be. I still have moments where my wife will go, hey, you realize you just did whatever. I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't do that. Yeah, you said this to this person. I'm like, oh, shit, you're right. I did.
Well, and that's where that honesty comes in right there is when that person is telling you, you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I did do that. Even if I don't think I did it, I've got to sit there and say, I did that. Now, how do I fix that problem specifically?
Again, you got to use your words and approach the situation, as you said, honestly, right? That's part of the impeccability of it. If you can be honest with that approach and with yourself, change is inevitable. Change will happen. As long as you're honest, change is going to happen.
Well, and the more you stumble down that path, like I call it stumbling, because until no one's ever going to perfect it. So you're stumbling down the path the whole time. There's no like at the beginning thing, but you've got to continue. It's like fake it till you make it. That's what they always say, right? For like people in show business, fake it till you make it. Well, if you fake it by just trying to make sure that your words are always positive, that you're always mindful of your words, eventually the train will follow behind it. You'll start seeing the things that you're saying. You know, you'll start seeing the positivity in the world. You'll start seeing those things. You'll start appreciating a little bit more. And you'll start realizing the world is not as negative of a place as you once thought it was. And that's, I think, where you have to kind of start down that path. Even when you don't think that saying things positively or being impeccable with your words going to work, just do it. Because eventually it's gonna hammer the concept home with your brain.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment with you. So if I'm trying to fake this new approach, how am I going to fake it when I'm dealing with, let's say, a coworker who is being lazy and not doing their job and then making my job more difficult? Or how am I going to fake it when my kids are screaming and yelling and giving me shit and my wife's doing nothing but sitting on her ass and not helping, and I'm doing all the work in the house and I feel overwhelmed because everything is piled on my shoulders, and now I have to turn around and smile and be nice to her and tell her how great she is and how wonderful she is, or tell my coworker how appreciative I am of the nothing they've been doing all day, and just seethe with anger underneath? How is that gonna help? What am I gonna gain from this faking it approach?
Well, it's not really faking it. It's saying that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. In those ones where you're gonna be that angry, yeah, I agree. I mean, we're gonna have those moments where you can't say anything nice and you can't be positive, and you're going to have to kind of bottle it up a little bit. But if you let that thought in your mind be that negative and you don't let go of it, then you're going to have a problem. You have to get past that negative thought. Only way I've ever found, I'm not saying be positive towards that person or that thing. Me personally, like if I get mad at a coworker, I'll usually text my girlfriend or I'll talk to somebody else that I'm positive with and get that negative mindset off of me. And that's what I'm saying about, you know, don't say anything to that coworker. Let it kind of ride. Don't say anything to your kids. Don't scream at them. Go find an outlet for it, but in a positive manner, if that makes sense.
That's exactly it. That's what I was hoping you would say. I think that's exactly the key, is not necessarily not feeling it or burying it or hiding it, but doing it in a constructive way, in a way that is in line with where we're headed, right? I think that's the ultimate goal. I read it so much on all these Facebook pages and stuff that I'm on, where people are just, all you got to do is just be positive and everything will work out. And I wish it was that simple. God knows.
If positivity worked, I could have done that 3 years ago and not been in the position I'm in now.
But I know, I agree. I think the problem we have is we try to stuff that anger and we try to hide it and we try to do what all the pop psychology, whatever you want to call it, tells us to do, which is, as long as you're being positive, everything will work out. And that's bull. We all know it's bull. So that's why we don't follow it, because it never works. You got to feel that anger. You got to feel that frustration, that rage, that whatever. You got to give it space.
Exactly. Well, and like I've always said, anger is not really necessarily the problem. It's the aggression and the way it outlets that's the problem, because anger can always be used for good. I mean, all the different books you can read in the world about anger talk about the assertive type anger that can actually be channeled for good. So anger is not really the problem. It's how we express it that's the problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the ultimate goal, is to change its expression, not to deny the anger.
Exactly. Because you deny it, you bottle it up, it's going to make it worse eventually.
I think it was funny. I've come to the conclusion, and side note, I've come to the conclusion that most people don't actually want help with anger. I think most people just want you to reinforce their belief on how they're going to get better. And if your view differs from theirs, then your view is obviously wrong. I was reading recently on a group that I'm part of where somebody posted, and their words paraphrased were proven anger management advice: go hit a punching bag.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Right. And so many people were going, yeah, man, that's exactly what I do. I go to the gym and I just beat the crap out of something, or I'll hit a pillow, or I'll hit this, or I'll hit that. And so many people commented on it. And I made one comment of, actually, psychology and science has proven that will actually reinforce your anger and cause it to be more violent, and will teach you to be aggressive with your anger. And I was told over and over again that I was wrong, and that, well, me and my kids go to the gym and they aren't angry. I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. Your approach is correct. Let me reinforce your idea.
Well, if it did work for one person, I mean, that's why a lot of fad diets don't work too in the weight loss industry, because it worked for one person. Suddenly that person thinks it'll work for everybody. The same solution doesn't work for everybody. That's why it's a living, breathing science for every person, you know?
Oh yeah. Anyway, not related to the topic. It's just one of those things that was eating me up. And I didn't comment back to the person, because I've learned to, there is no arguing with somebody online. It just doesn't exist. You can't do it.
No.
And it's taken me since 2009, I've been playing with Facebook, and it's taken me this long to realize that. So this was my outlet for that. That was my moment of anger for the day, y'all. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Not a problem.
Anyway, so back to the topic of words. So I think we also need to explore the idea of not just words, as in lowercase words, but also being impeccable with our word, capital, meaning being sure that what we say and what we're doing align with who we are. I think that is, and we said it in the last episode that just went live today, the idea is to live your truth, live yourself, and only express things that fall in line with where you want to be. And that's why being impeccable with our word, uppercase, is so important. And it will change that depression, that anxiety, that stress that we feel into positive emotions. And what do you think? Can is that something we should strive for as well?
Oh, absolutely. And that goes back to what he was saying in the book about your idea of perfection. The idea of perfection that we have is what we put in our mind. So it's using our own words on what we say we're going to do in life, and what we're going to put our energy towards is what becomes our word. And it's also our idea of perfection. And we all fall short. And if we do fall short, then we beat ourselves up, and it goes back to that 100%. But it goes to being honest again with our word here, capital case W there. Because if we do that, if we mean what we say and we say what we mean, then there's no reason that we can't, we're not going to fall short. We're not going to fall short of what we say we're going to do. But we've got to make sure that whatever we say we're going to do, that we can follow through on it. It's not just empty, idle words, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's in the first book that he talks about the idea of we are all artists of our own world and our own self. I can't remember if it's in that one, but I love that idea, because if you look at yourself as the artist of your life, their artists have so many brushes and so many different colors they can paint with, and so many different creative concepts that they can pull from, that if you start thinking of yourself as the artist of your life, man, now the world just opens up to you of possibilities that weren't there when you thought of yourself as just stuck in this rut and this place, and there's no way out of it. Is that in the first book? Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while since I've read it.
That part is not really in the first book. He has a little bit of that concept, but he talks about it as being the dream maker.
Okay.
You are the creator of your dream. He never talks about the artist, but I know that concept you're talking about. I think that's probably in one of his other books.
It might be. I don't know. I've read so many of them. It's crazy. I'm not allowed to buy any more books for a while because I've got too many. But I love that idea. And the dream thing too is so phenomenal, because that's all you do as a human. Your brain is only wired to dream. That's all it does all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It dreams. If we can alter that dream to be more in line with the dream we have of ourselves, again, now you're getting rid of that depression, that anxiety, that stress, and you're turning it into positive things.
Exactly. And if we're impeccable with our word, it's positive reinforcement for yourself. And it starts with small things. It's not taking big things and say, well, I'm going to be a news reporter, or I'm going to go play basketball in the NBA. We're talking about small little things with your word, about who you are and what you are. Because then once you do fall in line with those things you say you're going to do and who you are, you're going to feel better about yourself, and it's going to make it that much easier again for the second time that you put your word out there. You can slowly grow your word into bigger and bigger things and concepts that you want to do, but it starts with the little small stuff first.
Yep, I completely agree with that. It's always the small steps, man. The small steps build to the big thing.
Mm-hmm. You can't immediately say, I'm gonna defeat anger, and then tomorrow you feel like you're going to defeat it, because you're never going to make that goal. In a couple of days, you'll run out of steam because you didn't give yourself a small step first.
Yep, I'm living proof that it takes a long time. As I've said, I've been at this since 2009 when I went to jail, and I'm still every day fighting. So don't look for the overnight; it will never happen.
Nope.
So you're currently reading the book. What's our next agreement we're going to talk about in the next episode? I don't remember which one.
Don't take anything personally.
I always get 2 and 3 mixed up. Hopefully, I can convince Chris to join me for that one. Do not take things personally, and have another interesting conversation. What do you think, Chris? Can you join me?
Definitely. I'm all for it, for sure.
Awesome. Well, tell you what, when you're ready for that one, you send me the heads up after you've read it, can't talk. And we'll do another one of these and share another amazing agreement with everybody.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Chris, and everybody listening, thanks for joining us, and stay tuned for the next agreement.
If you enjoyed this, please take a moment to leave me a review on iTunes. Find more ways to get in touch with me on my website at angerpodcast.com. There you can leave me comments and find great info about the show. That anger management crap can work for us all. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.